I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Lord's Gem, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. My name is Jesse Romero, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady, my brother.
Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of Our Lady.
Got a lot to talk about today.
Good news,
but first
too,
of all, we got to jump into some soul food.
Yeah, let's get the soul food out. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 32 to 38.
Short and pithy.
Yep.
This is where our Lord talks about the harvest is abundant, yep, but the laborers are few.
You got it.
So let's see what our Lord has to tell us today. Matthew chapter 9, 32 to 38. As they were going away, behold, a mute demoniac was brought to him. In other words, it was a possessed person. And by the way, there's two types of way that demons will react. You either have what's called loquacious demons. They're chattery. They make a lot of noise. Or you have what's called mute demons. So this one's a mute demon that causes a person to, you know, just kind of close their eyes and try to avoid the prayers. So demons react in one of two ways, mute or loquacious. Goes on to say, and when the demon had been cast out, by the way, the word cast out, that's the definition of exorcism. Exorcism means to cast out with an oath. When the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke and the crowds marveled, saying, never was anything seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the prince of demons. So the jealous Jewish establishment is saying that Jesus Christ can only have power over demons because he was empowered by the devil himself. That's inconsistent. Okay, that's basically saying that the devil's trying to destroy himself. So It's circular reasoning by the Pharisees. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Some would say pity, some would say mercy. It all means the same thing. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's kind of like the way a lot of us feel today in certain, yep, quarters of the Catholic Church. Sure. When we run across bad bishops and bad cardinals and bad prelates, many Catholics today feel exactly the same way. That's why we always look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and draw strength from the Eucharist and draw strength from our prayers. It said, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Every single baptized and confirmed Catholic is called to be one of those laborers in the harvest, Terry.
Yes. That's why I say today, when it says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, that's not only in vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life. Think of married life. Think of single life. We're all called to serve. And that's why I want to say that on Thursday nights here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we not only pray for our priests and bishops and the Holy Father, we pray for vocations, that priests would become a holy priest. Because I'll tell you, the bottom line is, holy priests, holy people. If the priests are corrupt, the people will be corrupt. That's how important it is to have holy priests. And we're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. But I want to bring in, unless you have another comment about the
gospel. I just want to remind people that today in the Catholic Church,
yes,
we're celebrating Saint Augustine Rao Rong and his 120 martyrs. Chinese martyr companions.
It's a beautiful story.
That were killed 200 years ago by the Chinese tyrannical government. And all I want to say is is about all these Chinese martyrs that have been canonized by St. John Paul II. To all those Chinese martyr brothers of ours, pray for us and pray for your country. Amen.
Especially now. And think about one of the martyrs when the Chinese sliced his arm off. Okay. He said, every part of me is Christian. It's all for Christ. Then they slit his other arm off. He's still conscious. What does he say? Hey, everything you take, that's going to be Christian in me. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I say that because of what's going on in China today. I would hope, and I know I'm not politically correct when I say this, Jesse, but I'm saying it anyway. The church in China underground is suffering greatly right now. We talked about that earlier in the week. So I want to ask everybody to pray for the martyrs of China, that they will intercede on behalf of the people today because they need prayers. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the leaders in our church are throwing them under the bus. No, that's a nice way of saying it. They're basically leaving to the wolves. I mean it, because the Chinese or communist government is in charge of the church. Do you realize what that means to the faithful? I want to say the church in China, we need to pray for you to be faithful to Christ, because right now there's a lot of compromise going on in the church regarding China. So we'll pray for those martyrs.
Yep. Terry, I think you got something from Sheen.
I do. Folks, let's get this real quick. Pithy. It always is quick with Sheen. He says, this is about an examination of conscience. Jess, myself, we do it every night, okay? Here's what Bishop Sheen said about introspection. Most of us do not like to look inside ourselves for the same reason we do not like to open a letter that has bad news. You see, Jess, what is that saying? Hey, if we don't have an examined life, then life isn't worth living. If we just forget about looking at what we've done, and if we're not going to look at that, then there's no repentance. And I'll be honest with you, I don't see how any soul can go to heaven without having repentive mindset of the things they've done wrong. Because you know what? Forgiveness is contingent upon you asking for forgiveness. Okay.
Yeah. Terry, just want to just mention that what makes America great?
Oh, yeah, it's a great
Dr.
article.
John Horvat, I'm just going to rip off a couple things from his article. He says, for the greatness of nations is not found in things, quantities, or delights, but in the character of its people. That's the whole argument in the article.
Yep.
What makes America great is the character of its people. And let's not forget that George Washington, he says, of all the dispositions and habits which leads to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. So what makes America great? Dr. Horvat, character of their people, not things, not quantities, not money. So what is character? The dictionary says the moral or ethical qualities of a person. I've heard somebody define character as what someone does when nobody else is looking.
That's a great line.
Yeah. And so, again, the greatness of a nation is not found in things, quantities, or delights, but in the character of its people. And America's great because there's always been and still are those who are willing to take up the challenges of going beyond the easy and comfortable. And I'll give you an example. I mean, we see crosses of dead American soldiers in foreign cemeteries all over the world.
Right.
That's greatness, Terry. These are great people. This country produces great, heroic, courageous people because they have good character and they know that tyranny has to be opposed. So there's a lot of dead Americans buried underneath the cross in foreign cemeteries because they stood against tyranny. Why? Because they were taught character. Why? Because they embraced one nation under God. They embraced the proposition of liberty and freedom, and they embrace the idea of from many one. Terry?
You nailed it, Jesse, and I'll just add one more thing about the family. As St. John Paul II said, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. America is great when mom and dad do their duties that are set aside, set in front of them from God about being a monogamous, by being faithful to each other and raising up the children to live lives of holiness. And I'm going to just say this, Jess. One of the reasons we have problems in our country right now is that about out of 10 children, only three of them are living with a mom and dad, being raised with that. That's a problem. And here's my comment. I know I'm going to get upset. I'm going to upset people. But let me just say this, Jess. If you can't be faithful to Anita, you're not great. Okay? If I can't be faithful to Mary Danielle, I'm not great for that. So in other words, we have a country right now that's walking away from the sacrament of marriage with divorce. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that hurts America more than anything else, yeah. Jess.
Dr. Horvath says, Terry, America will be great as long as we strive to be truly good.
That's it.
True goodness means placing God in the center of society.
Got it.
Holding to his commandments and the rule of life and defending the higher law in the public square. Such Americans are what makes the nation great. For them, words like courage, honor, justice, and duty still resonate in their hearts. They still hold dear their ties to God and his law, yeah. And they grieve over the course the nation has taken. I'll tell you what fake greatness is, Terry.
Yeah.
What's being fake is, you know, those actors and actresses, that the rich and famous that walk the red carpet in Hollywood, that's not great. That's fake greatness.
That's right.
Miss America beauty pageants, that's not great, Terry.
Nope.
It doesn't take any talent to do that. That's fake greatness. Being inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame, that doesn't show any character. That means you just could throw a ball and you could hit a ball.
Exactly.
That's not great. That's not great character. Receiving an award from Planned Parenthood. Being splashed on freeway billboards advertising something half naked. Getting a Grammy Award, an Emmy Award, an MTV Award. These are all examples of fake greatness. True greatness is putting God first, keeping the commandments, and doing the right thing when nobody else is looking.
Well said. When we come back, I've got a story that I know about a priest in Detroit. That's an amazing story. We need to pray for him. We'll be back. You'll want to hear this on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We like to say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd both be millionaires. because we love Jesus and Mary and the church. I wanted to give some good news before I get into this story. The SB 360 legislation was a threat to seal of confession.
In California.
In California, it was pulled from the committee. And from what I just read from a text someone just gave me, it's pulled for the year. It will not go on any ballot. Over 120,000 people signed letters, and they flooded Sacramento with opposition to this. And so I just want to say kudos to all those who have been praying for this to stop. And that is good news. But it goes to show me, Jesse, what can happen when good people stand up for the truth and put pressure on our political parties.
So that's right.
Praise God. Okay.
Harry, you know about this priest that's being slighted.
It's a traditional Detroit priest, categorically denies any allegations. His name is Father Edward Perrone. He's a longtime pastor of the Assumption Grotto. He has a reputation for orthodoxy, and he promotes the traditional liturgy. He's got the Latin Mass there in English. He's also got an English liturgy. So he was temporarily placed on leave following a single allegation that the archdiocese has deemed credible.
So, 40 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. He's 70 years old. And this has happened to many of my friends, but I know this priest.
In the beach or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know this priest quite well. He worked with someone like Father John Hardin, servant of God, for the Call to Holiness Conference back in the 80s and 90s. He's got a stellar record. As a matter of fact, he was instrumental in shutting down St. John's Provincial Seminary in Detroit after exposing, here it comes, homosexual pornography scandal. And many more things he's shut down with the homosexuals. But before I get to that point, I want to back up.
By the way, Detroit, Michigan, the home of call to action dissenters.
Exactly.
That's where it started from.
Yeah, that's when those people didn't like Father at all.
That was ground zero for call to action.
Pope Francis put out points on how to deal with sexual abuse in the church, and point number 14 states a right to defense. The principle of natural and canon law of presumption of innocence must be safeguarded. Are you hearing this? Until the guilt of the accused is proven, which it hasn't been proven. Therefore, it is necessary to prevent the list of the accused being published, even by the Diocese Detroit, before a preliminary investigation and a definitive condemnation. Jesse, he's basically...
So the diocese violated his canonical right.
Exactly. And I got to tell you, our good friend Michael Voris from Church Militant challenged the priest who was doing this and said, what about all these other priests in your diocese who have been openly homosexual and you don't stop them from saying Mass? It just seems like it's very selective. And Jesse, you've got a police background, okay? When I see a criminal, somebody who's into bad things, don't they usually have associations with other criminal organizations, or at least suspect?
Of course, Terry, criminals don't operate in isolation. Unless the only ones that operate in isolation are like serial killers, like Richard Ramirez, Ted Bundy.
Okay.
But apart from those guys, the most criminals, they run in packs. And that's where they draw their strength from. The numbers.
Yeah.
You know, gangs run in packs, cartels run in packs, drug dealers run in packs. Motorcycle outlaws run in packs. That they understand the power of networking.
Okay, well, Jesse, back in 1982, Father Perrone was there when the Vatican was investigating St. John's Seminary, which was proudly labeled, are you ready for this? The Pink Palace by local homosexuals. Really? Cardinal Edmund Soka was able to prevent any real discussion of the homosexual culture there until the final day. Here's what happened. You want to know why this guy's being attacked? Listen to what he did. Father Perrone forced the issue by he did something in secret. He delivered a long and detailed dossier about the seminary's homosexual culture to the visiting Vatican officials. And so what did that do, Jesse? It exposed the sinful behavior in the seminary, and the seminary got closed. And guess what, Jesse? The homosexuals were very upset with this priest, and they vowed, we're going to get back at him, and they did. I believe that this is a matter of the Lavender Mafia. It's payback time to Father Perrone. Tell me I'm wrong, Jess. Go ahead.
No, I like the way you connected the dots.
Yeah.
Terry, and Father Perrone, this good priest, by the way, He's been profiled on Michael Rose's book came out years ago, Goodbye, Good Men.
Yep.
Michael Rose talked about 10 good priests in his book.
Yep.
And this priest, Father Perrone, was profiled as one of the 10 good men serving the church today. And again, he's been the pastor there of one of the most Orthodox parishes in Detroit Archdiocese, the Assumption Grotto Church, for decades. And again, he's helped to clean up the homosexual mafia in the Detroit Archdiocese. And this is absolute payback, Terry, by the St. Gallen Lavender Mafia.
You got it. And just to add to this, I know the Opus Angelorum, the work of the Holy Angels that I'm a member of, worked out of that parish for 25 years with Father. And Father Wolfgang, who I've had on this network, I hope he doesn't mind me quoting him because it's the truth. He said to me, Terry, this man taught all of the classes at the parish for marriage preparation, and he said it was outstanding, the best he's ever heard. And when the RCIA program came in, they had many converts. He taught that too. And he had Eucharistic adoration. He was Marian. He was just a good, holy priest. And Jesse, our life has been 30, 40 years of church activity. We've seen this happen to other priests, have we not? I have.
Terry, you and me have one story after another. Yeah. It would just take up too much time.
Yeah.
Where we've seen good holy priests, and here's what the liberal progressive modernists, we'll use a word, the papal terms. Here's what the modernists do.
Yeah.
When they have a good priest that's Orthodox, and they consider a troublemaker, a whistleblower, because he doesn't keep his mouth shut and toe the party homosexual line, and get involved in liberal liturgical. Rubrics and stuff, they set him up for a fall.
There you go.
All they do is put out an allegation, have somebody call in. Oh, yeah, he touched me in a swimming pool 40 years ago in my thigh. Yeah, yeah. And he was trying to grope me. They put out these baseless, unprovable, impossible to prove allegations against good holy priests. That way they smear them. That way they pull them out. And indefinitely, and these priests, a lot of them just go through depression because they know they're being, as they say in police work, railroaded. They're being railroaded by the authority in the church, and a lot of these priests, Terry, you just never hear from them again.
Right, I know that for a fact. But remember what Pope Francis put out on number 14, a right to defense.
That you can't do that.
You can't do what they're doing is illegal, and we need to call them on it. It's time that the lay people stand up, and as we say, priests, be holy priests, because a holy priest bring a holy people. We have James in Covina. James, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Hey, Terry. Hi, Jesse. You know, I had a question
and
a comment. Here it is. You know, I was reading the other day in Genesis where Israel, Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
Sure.
And I noticed when he blessed the sons of Joseph, he stretched out his hands and he crossed his hands, and then Joseph said, no, Father. He said, no, I know, my son, I know. And so he blessed Ephraim first, who's the youngest, and he blessed Manasseh. And then he says, my name is going to be on these two children. They're going to be mine. He says, one is going to be a company of nations, which is Ephraim, and the other one will be a great nation. So here's my point. I'm trying to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at everything that's going on in this world with the LGBT, all of the candidates that are running, not one believe in pro-life, not one.
Right, for the Democratic Party.
The Catholic Church. So I'm thinking, God, I don't think we're going to get a pass. I think some way down the line, I don't know, this is my thing, I could be wrong, I think we're going to be invaded by a foreign country. And the reason why I say it is because when you read the book of Ezekiel and you look at the name of Israel, how is it that the United States is not mentioned in there? Could it be that those two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, are the descendants of Israel? Does that make sense, or am I off?
Go ahead, Jesse.
You know what? I would have to go back to my Genesis study, which right now my mind isn't thinking that way. But I will say this, that if you look at biblical history, salvation history, every single time in every single covenant, when Israel starts betraying their fidelity to God, what does God do? God allows an enemy to rise
punishment.
Up and become so strong to persecute them and enslave them and take them captive. So you're absolutely right about that.
Repeating history.
And as in America right now, we're in the final covenant. We're in the covenant with Jesus Christ and the church. And so it is quite possible that if we consider ourselves a Christian nation in Europe and stuff, if Christianity continues to be so milquetoast as it is right now, especially amongst our leadership, absolutely, when you look at all the other five previous covenants in the Old Testament, it is abundantly clear that God could allow. Here's two things that Pope Benedict said that we're facing with, that I think these are the two beasts that will arise, so to speak, out of the ocean floor from the book of Revelation. Pope Benedict says secular humanism, mm-hmm. which is militant atheism. And just like you guys saw in California, hey, you priests have to divulge everything here, confession. That's militant secular humanism trying to encroach upon the church. Thanks to be to God, we defeated it, but we're fighting those battles continually. And the second beast that's coming against the church, according to Pope Benedict, is Islamic terrorism. Those are the two enemies of Christianity, secular humanism and Islamism. And you're absolutely right. When Christianity starts betraying Christ, God allows his enemies to grow strong and to persecute us. It's just only a matter of time if we don't turn the ship around, my friend.
James, I'm going to make a comment. Please call back with the Bible with the Barbers. My wife, who has a master's in biblical studies, I'd like you to ask her that question and let her give her take on that. But Jess, I totally agree. If you look at the Old Testament, it's very consistent. When we sin, God punishes us. And, you know, we're right in that boat right now. James, what are your thoughts on what Jesse had to share with you?
Yeah, I think it's true. You know, I think that's correctly, because I do see a pattern there.
Yep.
And I'm thinking when he mentioned the I'm looking at Iran, you know, the Muslims and stuff like that.
Sure.
What do you call it, jihadists? I'm thinking I don't know where it's at in Revelation, but it says that they were beheaded for the testimony. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the only people that are beheading right now is those jihadists. I'm
you
thinking
got it.
If he's going to use the modern Babylonians, like he did in the Old Testament, and as a metaphor, to punish the United States,
yep,
because we're getting bad. I mean,
got
killing
it.
Babies when they're born, man, that's horrible.
Marrying men,
I
euthanizing our elders, yep. Legalizing medical marijuana. No, we're almost in a complete state of apostasy. If we call ourselves a Christian nation, we're almost in a complete state of apostasy. And the only thing that God does with apostate Christians is punish them by allowing their enemies to become so strong, their enemies will smash them. That's where we're at, James, right now.
Yeah.
Unless we turn it around.
James, great question. Yeah. Don't forget to call in on our next show, The Bible with the Barbers, after the Terry and Jesse Show. You're listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be back with much, much more. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what is true social justice and false social justice? I'll tell you, our American universities, that you know, schools of higher learning, they've betrayed the Catholic morality. What do I mean by that? The motto of DePaul University, for example, it says right on the building, the admin building in Latin, it says this: I will show you the way to wisdom. Okay, so what is wisdom? Wisdom enlightens the mind and strengthens the will. And obviously, it has direct consequences. It leads to a life of holiness. Well, guess what? These universities now promote socialism. They promote LGBTQR clubs. They dispense birth control on campuses. They have the play called the V monologues. I don't want to say the word on radio. And the fact of the matter is, most of our universities have turned their backs on promoting wisdom, which comes from God, and have adopted this distorted sense of social justice. I'll give you an example. My kids went to Alamany High School, and I lived in Southern California. And it's just a typical liberal Catholic Southern California high school. And as I would read the student manuals and all the stuff that I read everything that the parents, you know, they wanted us to read, all the handbook and everything. And I noticed that in all the high schools in Southern California that I went to, all the manuals said, we want to make our students agents of change. So I looked that up years ago. So where does this come from? Is this like, you know, Catholic thought? Does this come from saints or doctors of the church or the fathers of the church? No. This comes from Karl Marx. This is Marxism, found in literally every Catholic handbook. Look at the school your kids go to. Look at the student handbook. And 90% of you are going to find it's going to say, we intend on making little Johnny and little Jane an agent of change. That's socialism. That's the fact of the matter is, the social justice promoted by a lot of these Catholic schools and universities, second universities, all it is socialism repackaged. But you know what true social justice is for us as Catholics? It's in the Catechism,
right?
Paragraph 1928.
Yep.
It always talks about A, the common good, and B, the proper exercise of authority and the dignity of the human person. That's true social justice according to Catholicism, not eco-green, politics, not, earth-worshipping propaganda, not open borders and, you know, let everybody come in from all over the world. That's not social justice. That's Marxism that's found its way into the church, Terry.
Jesse, just to back you up on what you're saying, I won't say his name, but a teacher in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles who's taught at many Catholic high schools told me recently, like the 4th of July, he said, Terry, have you read The Oath of Modernism? I said, yeah, we have it on our website. Didn't you know that? No, I didn't know that. He said, but the opposite is being taught for 25 years that I've taught at the high school level in Catholic schools. Everything that modernism talks about has infiltrated the church in high schools in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. I said, well, that's quite an indictment. He said, yeah, I just keep ducking because every time they tell me I have to do this thing or that thing that's compromised the faith, I just shake my head like, oh, yeah, okay, and then I disregard it. Okay, so he's in there fighting the good fight. I don't want to say his name, but Jesse, his point is this. Modernism has invaded the Catholic school system, and so I'm just supporting what you're saying. The social justice, my boys went to Bishop Amon.
And modernism, Terry, that's what they call it now. They don't say modernism because they know, oh, they're going to quote Pope Pius X on me. We can't do that. So they'll say social justice.
That's the code word.
Who's going to have a problem with that? It's like, it sounds like a nice, you know, criminal justice term. Yeah. So that's how they've repackaged it. Modernism is called social justice. But continue about Bishop Beaumont.
Well, Bishop Beaumont, I had my boys go there for a year or two. And they told me in religion classes, they got into arguments about the social teachings of the church. And my boy said that you're teaching communism. And he got in trouble. And I got called in into the school over it. And, of course, I defended his position with the catechism. And, you know, they just poo-pooed me. But my point is saying is that unless your children are well-trained, they're just going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. And what happens, Jesse, is those individuals who get falsely taught about the Catholic faith, they have no interest in it because, you know what? It's not attracting because false teachings really don't grab you. But when you stick to the teachings of the church, then that is what's going to bring young people to stick being a Catholic. And I'll put my case in point. By the time young people are the age of 23, 87% of them are not practicing the Catholic faith. So the fruit of modernism is apostasy.
That's right. And social justice, according to the Catholic Church, it requires recognition of the dignity of man.
You got it.
In other words, that man's has an immortal soul that will live forever, made in the image and likeness of God. And that as a result,
we need to know that
his rights become before society's rights.
That's right.
And so social justice, true social justice, according to Catholicism, is concerned principally with promoting human dignity and for promoting the common good, not political power. And there's very little mention in the catechism made of power arrangements. And the body of Catholic social teaching for good reason, because the church is principally concerned with the spiritual health of the person before the environment, before the ecology, before ecological religion that we see now. These are power politics to try to redistribute wealth and to try to give the government more power over the citizen. This is not social justice, as Cardinal Pell once said. He said, by the way, the church has no expertise when it comes to the environment or to ecology. I think that's what got him in trouble.
Absolutely. And Jesse, your quote from the paragraph 1928 from the Catechism, people need to hear that. But Jesse, there's a term, liberation theology. That's also this idea that we're here.
Another code word.
Exact code word, and it's been condemned, liberation theology, and saying that we're here to make things here on the planet Earth, number one, and forget about heaven. And I think that Cardinal Ratzinger wrote the document on that back in the 90s that clarified that, because there's so many problems down in South America and Central America where liberation theology was just driving people out of the church, and our Protestant brothers and sisters, they were just swooping up on the Catholics, and it's still the case. We're losing souls there. Jess, here's my point too, and I'm going to throw it out because I'm not politically correct, but Pope Francis took care of a priest, unfortunately, about 3 months ago, who was a big promoter of liberation theology, and in 1987, Pope John Paul II the Great condemned this man right out in front of everybody. I still see the video and pointing a finger and saying, you know, you're being censored. So you can't say Mass because what you're promoting is not Catholic teaching. And I don't know why, Jesse, but a couple months ago, Pope Francis removed that, what is it called? Interdiction.
Suspension
of,
or something.
Suspension of him. Yeah. And so I don't know, without him even repenting. Now, the guy's 94 years old. He's Gustavo is his name. And so why did he do that? Maybe an act of charity before he meets God. But this man still is very upset about Benedict XVI, Pope John Paul II, because of, you know, what they stand for. And so all I'm saying is these are confusing times. Here we are talking. We're not management. We're in sales. We're talking about the true social teachings of the church. And we have the hierarchy giving liberation theology a pass. And I think that's confusing at best.
Yeah, this is being promoted, especially in the Jesuit universities.
Oh, the Jesuits are the worst at it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean and a lot of our a lot of the professors are Marxist professors.
That's a fact.
Okay, And they're presenting an image of society that's drawing the minds of these young Catholic students away from the actual teachings of the church. And instead, they're focusing these students on revolution, on revolting, on these cultural Marxist ideas.
Sick.
And this is enabled, you know, when you see stuff like in the streets, Antifa, Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter. These professors have trained these young people in this type of activity by using that language, that the Marxist language, you know, of revolution, of anarchy, of fight the fascists. And here's, I think here's the principal difference between what the secular left calls social justice and what the church teaches.
Yeah.
Is that for the secular left, the secular world, social justice means a proper redistribution of wealth.
Chiefly.
And it also means that the power resides with the government. But for the Catholic Church, social justice is the right arrangement of relationships and arrangements that do not prevent man from pursuing his relationship with God and with his neighbor. And the secular world is more concerned with material goods and the power that that brings, and they represent, but the Catholic Church is more concerned primarily with the common good and the dignity of the human person. It's very simple. Social justice, I just tell people, if you want to know what it really is, true Catholic social justice, it's the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy found in 2447 of the Catechism. When you show spiritually and physically that you love God and you love your neighbor and you do something about it, it's the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. It's not power politics like it's proclaimed by a lot of Marxist professors in universities today, Terry.
Well said, and I would encourage you to read St. Pope Paul VI's definition of the common good in Gaudium et Spes. He quotes it right from John 15, verse 13. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. For as we are in relationship with Christ and expected to live like him, so too are expected to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbors and family. Wow. Jesse, when we come back, this is my favorite topic and yours. How to bring fallen away Catholics back home. This is an article about the nuns. How do we bring the young people who have been just leaving for the last 50 years the Catholic Church? But we're going to talk about just that here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. Get yourself a cup of coffee because this is going to make you want a strong cup. Be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what are nuns? N-O-N-E-S. It means those people that have left the Catholic Church for nothing. Really, they're secular humanists. They're like tumbleweeds out there. They don't know what they believe. Yep. They just live for the moment, live for the weekend. Bishop Barron, he was given a lecture. He's the auxiliary bishop of Los Angeles. He's the chairman of the USCCB's Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis. And he gave some sobering statistics about why many young people are leaving the church. He says for every one person joining the church today, 6.4 are leaving. Almost 8 in 10 leave by the age of 23.
Is this microphone on, Jesse? How can we say that and say everything's fine? Those statistics.
For every person joining the Catholic Church today, 6.5 are leaving. Almost 8 in 10 leave by the age of 23.
Yep.
And the median age for leaving the church today is 13 years old.
Sick church right now.
A lot of them leave for evangelicals, or they leave for become atheists or agnostics, or they just leave for nothing. And a lot of them say that what their host, a lot of them leave, they told Bishop Barron, he says in his report or his lecture, he said a lot of them leave because they believe religion is at odds with science. Bishop Barron says this comes through all the time. And this is, by the way, this is the Marxist propaganda by the teachers and professors that they drill our Catholic kids and tell them. Yep. And our Catholic kids are low information. They don't have the intellectual capacities to go against a 40 or 50-year-old guy with a couple of masters and PhDs. They don't. They don't have the arguments yet or they don't have the world experience. Right. So they'll tell them, you know that the Bible's full of errors, young man? You know that the Catholic Church... whatever. Go. They'll start making stuff up about the Inquisition and Crusades and stuff and embellishing numbers. Don't you know that the Catholic Church is anti-science? So these kids hear this in middle school, high school. They don't have any intellectual categories to be able to go against these cultural Marxist professors. Then they come home and dad is drinking beer and mom is, you know, watching, reruns, romantic reruns for, every single night. So these kids come home, they say, well, I can't get any answers anywhere. And they just kind of check out of church. The reason I'm standing here in the microphone today is because I encountered apologetics.
Amen.
In my mid-20s. I'd be a secular humanist right now. I wouldn't know what I believe. I'd just be out there just like a typical Mexican-American, just low information, just kind of living. But I encountered Catholic apologetics in my late 20s. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, there's answers to these questions from these Marxists, from these atheists, from these bigots, from these Protestants. There's rational, historical answers, biblical answers. And I'll tell you, a lot of people leave the church because their heart doesn't, it won't accept the Catholic faith because their mind has never been engaged. And so when we give people, and this is where Terry's been on the cutting edge on this, he kind of brought me back in when I bought this series of cassette tapes called Life is Worth Living back. I bought them from Terry in 1989.
I remember.
At an SCRC conference over in Southern California. I looked at a guy yelling, saying, man, this guy seems to be on fire, man. Look at this dude, man. This guy's proclaiming boldly the Catholic faith. All these other vendors are all quiet. They're all like it's a library. Terry's yelling. I walked over there. I'm listening to him. And he said, you want to know your faith? He says, you want to know the faith of the saints and the faith of our fathers? Right here. This is a university course. And I'm listening. Now, I've already kind of heard of Fulton Sheen a little bit, even in my liberal Catholic days. So, and he said, you listen to this. This is a complete converse course on the Catholic faith. I walked up to him, took out my credit card, 1989, And it was not cheap. I mean, it's $100 in 1989. That's not cheap.
Right.
Okay. It'd be like right now, $500. I had no problems with it. I said, what? I need to know my faith because there's something that tells me that this is absolutely true. And I've been lied to most of my life. I've got to learn it. I gave Terry the credit card and the rest is history. I'm here behind the radio now.
Jesse, so many young men I've met over 40 years who have had a similar experience. It's apologetics in defense of the faith. Your brother Johnny spent the 4th of July at my home, and we had a similar conversation. It's almost like exactly what you said touched him on apologetics, and he's just like you, proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is one thing that I have to say as an evangelist. We've dropped the ball as a church. Most young people have no clue about their faith. So, gosh, when, like you said, a professor says to them, hey, the Catholic Church is X, Y, and Z, and you're going, really? I didn't know that, because they haven't been formed. And so it's embarrassing to have to say this, but we got to go back to the basics on apologetics. That's why I say with Bishop Sheen's beatification coming in, many more people are going to be listening to his material, reading his books, and it's going to be a blessing, especially to these young people that have left the faith, because it just takes an invitation many times to show them the beauty of our faith. And right now, many Catholics just don't have any interest in that because they're scandalized also. That's another issue that has been affecting the church poorly. So what's my solution? Live the Catholic faith, and your children will catch it because you caught it. That's my take.
Terry, you know about the fact that the modernists of the church, they hate apologetics.
Oh gosh,
they want people to be stupid.
Yep.
That way they can do their.
I haven't heard it that way.
Both of the clown masses.
Yeah.
They can have their dancing girls in the liturgy with bowls of incense.
Yeah.
If Catholics stay stupid, they could do anything. They could say, hey, you could receive communion, standing on your head, doing a handstand, and people are going to say, well, Father said so. Well, the diocese said so. But you are on the cutting edge, you Catholic answers, on giving, and Mother Angelica, on giving young Catholics answers, reasons, catechesis, formation. You saw the importance 40 years ago, and you, boy, oh boy, you've paid the price for it.
Well, so thank you, Jesus. I'll give you a fun story. I was at St. John's Seminary. This one hasn't been told on the air, so you can record it. Dr. Scott Hahn was debating Father Rausch, a Jesuit priest who happened to be very, very liberal.
And Scott, very anti-apologetic.
Yes, and Scott Hahn pulled out his Bible and catechism and was quoting in the debate paragraphs of the catechism and scripture. And this is what I actually heard him say. Are you ready? The Jesuit priest said, you bring that catechism out and the Bible again, and this debate is over. I'm like, are you? Scott Hahn's mouth went like this. What? Are you serious?
Father Thomas Rausch was the president of Loyola University
in
downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, see, and that's my point.
Just so you know, he's no small Jesuit in the Catholic Church, Terry.
And you see, when I was in the formation at the Franciscans, they gave us a book in 1978 on basic apologetics. And when they were teaching the course, they said, it's 13 years after the Second Vatican Council, and everybody's poo-pooing apologetics. But the brother Francis Mary said to me, if we don't get our apologetics right, we're going to have a massive exodus of Catholics, young people, because they need to know their faith. That's why in your formation, you're going to know apologetics. And I thanked him for it because I read the Baltimore Catechism. I read other catechisms. I liked apologetics. And I have to tell you, Jesse, one of the reasons my kids are all Catholic today is because they learned the catechism, the St. Thomas Aquinas Catechism from Tan Books, the Baltimore Catechism. And when they get into conversations with non-Catholics, they can talk about it. They can show the reasonableness of Catholicism. So people, listen, give your kids good formation on apologetics. It's very essential to living a Catholic life.
Terry, the article also says that the reason, one of the problems is that what we've done with the young people, why there's the mass exodus.
Yeah.
It says here, Bishop Barron brought up Jordan Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
A non-Catholic. He's a clinical psychology professor.
Famous.
Who's very famous because he's very popular with young people. It says here, to look at the phenomenon and say maybe we've been underplaying what our young people are capable of.
That's right.
Maybe we can address these issues at a high level, too. So Bishop Barron is saying that Jordan Peterson has the following of a lot of young people because Jordan Peterson, he talks to young people at a high level.
He
doesn't assume they're stupid.
That's right.
And Bishop Barron, he realizes that we, post-Vatican II, we've dumbed down our conversation with young people. And Terry, we've dumbed down everything, starting with the liturgy by calling, you know, when the term noble simplicity came in, that doesn't mean, that doesn't mean all the goofy, silly stuff that we've seen in the last 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
Okay. It just means it's supposed to be dignified. Supposed to be solemn. It's not supposed to be simplistic. So, you know, a lot of young people, they go to the typical St. Diversities or St. Miscellaneous Catholic Church and they look and they laugh. Terry, I see them laughing at the guitar masses. Yeah. They're laughing as old people are bobbing their head and popping their fingers and tapping their toes.
Yeah.
They're laughing as Father has these modernist vestments and he's trying to crack jokes and walk up and down the aisle. And he's trying to be like a talk show host or
pathetic.
A game show host. Young people look at each other. They laugh. They don't want that.
Nope.
They don't want an old person to act like a young person.
Nope.
Act like yourself and talk to them like they have a brain. That's what Peterson does, and that's why he has a big following.
And Jesse, as a young man in high school, we had a priest who was a very holy priest who would come to the Mass, an hour before Mass to pray. He'd spend time after Mass. He said Mass like he really believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And so his model was passed on to the parishioners. And he had us as high school students serving his Mass. And I'll tell you, we knew that this was a sacred duty. And here's the point I'm making. Because he was in love with Jesus Christ and he showed that reverence for the Blessed Sacrament and he taught us the fundamentals of the Catholic faith, we had strong young men. And many of those men are priests today. Why? Because we had good leadership. Jesse, you've seen it too. When you have a holy priest, you have a holy people.
That's right. One thing I like about the article that Bishop Barron says, he says, if there's one thing he would tell a lay Catholic at a parish about evangelization to others, Bishop Barron says, don't be afraid to tell them about your relationship with the Lord. Don't be afraid to share your faith and talk about your faith and what it means to you. And people will respond to that, even if they don't seem to at first. And Terry, let's just be honest. This is just an area where we Catholics are terrible, and you've actually written a book on
it. I did. How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, Chapter 8, is how to give your personal testimony. If you want the book, call 877-526-2151. It's in our DNA to evangelize, folks. Jesse, the hour went quick, but I want to end it with this good note, and that is, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in the state of grace. Let's not live in the state of mortal sin. Mm-hmm. And remember what St. Father De Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. And don't forget, pray your rosaries every day. Unite your prayers with that 12-star general that's in heaven praying for us right now.
And let's continue to pray for Holy Mother, the Church, for a massive conversion in the Church, that we will fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His Bride, the Church. Go to confession, say the rosary, pray, and be happy. We'll be back with you next show.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.